Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, a cooking store located at 100 Frost Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Join me every Wednesday as I talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. Feast Your Ears is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station that's devoted to all things food. Please help us and help me and help us all keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. And if you don't donate, they might shock me. So, you know, if I scream out in the middle of the episode, you'll know you need to donate more to prevent me from being harmed. It's not actually true, but they're threatening to do that. Today is episode number, I believe, 37 of Feast Your Ears. And I'm in the studio today being joined by Vanessa Lee. Thank you, Vanessa, for joining me. Vanessa is a model here in New York, although she was born in London, and has her own cooking show on YouTube where she cooks with and interviews other models.
Sounds so fancy. Cooking show. I feel like Martha Stewart.
So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about the show. I mean, how did you create it? The show, and I've watched a couple episodes now, and it's essentially you visiting colleagues of yours,
right?
And cooking. They decide on the dish to cook.
So first and foremost, I should start by saying I can't cook to save my life. I'm the opposite to everyone else. I don't know anything to cook, just because growing up, my mom was amazing at cooking. So I grew up in a house, and also she's an Asian tiger mom. So it's kind of like like she puts food on the table, you eat it. And I moved here like 8 months ago, and I had to kind of figure it out. And up until that point, it was always like just throw something in, like pasta, eggs, that kind of stuff, really simple stuff. And then I moved in with my friend who is vegan, and so she grew up the opposite way, where she was always learning how to cook. So that was the first thing. She started introducing me to knowing what's in your food, and like it sounds really lame, but kind of like health consciousness. And I was like, oh look, kale, that looks interesting, I'll give that a shot. And then yeah, so that was the first thing. I started to learn how to cook, and just kind of, yeah, getting into, I guess, the food trends. And then the second thing was I started watching Casey Neistat videos, which I know is cliche. So then the two things kind of combined at the same time. I was like, oh, I want to kind of make videos and vlogs. And then,
I mean, his videos are really cool. I mean, they're exciting and interesting.
Right.
I remember I first found him actually during Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, okay.
He was on a bicycle biking around New York.
Right.
With making videos of what was happening, of the water pouring into the battery tunnel. I mean, you know, of all that stuff, and documenting that. And I thought that was really interesting. And now, obviously, he's parlayed that years later into an action brand.
Yeah, so for me, I wanted to kind of combine the two, where it's like lifestyle and it's food, but it's in a really organic, very natural way. Like, as you can see in the videos, there's nothing. I haven't got anything fancy, no fancy equipment, no editing. It's just really like I literally use iPhone and my mobile phone.
Yeah.
And I just go to like friends' houses and I film one friend per video. I try to do two a week if I can. And
that's
just
pretty busy.
Whatever they want to make, whatever. And there's no like, it's not like it has to be healthy. It doesn't have to be anything. So, I mean, I say that I probably should limit myself, because the other day, the other week, it was like three banana breads in the space of like 2 days. And I was like, oh my God, my liver. Like, I was like dying. My entire body was just like too much. But yeah, it's really fun. It's kind of like Cribs. I like the idea of it being like Martha Stewart, and this is me really, really being ambitious here, like Martha Stewart meets Casey Neistat meets Amy Schumer humor. So it's like just just a different approach to food. Because I feel like if you go on the Food Network, there's nothing for like people my age who just love food. And there's nothing. It's all very much like Beth at Contessa. And here's one I made earlier. And that's not real.
No, they're very real. I mean, I really enjoy the fact that they're just in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, they're not on a set.
Right.
You know, it's just in whoever's kitchen you're cooking with. You went to one really beautiful house in Ridgewood.
We were talking about how
amazing it was. You know, they live in this beautiful house. I mean, that for me actually brings up a something that I wanted to talk about moving more, I guess, to talk a little bit more about modeling and that world. You know, I feel like the layperson's vision into modeling is something like America's Next Top Model.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if the modeling world actually exists in that way, where you have a bunch of models living together and working together sort of all the time. Is that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what happens is when you start modeling, generally you're placed into different cities and you start traveling. And in the main cities, you have model apartments, which is what America's Next Top Model is modeled on. But what the difference is that is very much for TV. It's never a penthouse. It's usually like a one bedroom apartment in a nice location because they want you to be safe. But you probably share like a one bedroom apartment with like 6 to 8 girls in one room and like one bathroom, one kitchen. And so it's very much like you're young. Most of the time, you know,
it's like dormitory.
Yeah, it's like dormitory, except most of the girls don't speak English or you all come from different backgrounds and you're just kind of thrown into this situation. So it's definitely not glamorous. I don't know if you've ever tried sharing a bathroom with 8 girls, but it is hard.
I lived in an apartment in college and there were 10 of us and there were, I think we had 2 bathrooms, I think, but I think it was 7 girls and 3 guys. And that definitely is not a, I don't want to return to living with 9 other people. I don't think anytime soon.
No, it's like, I didn't even know that humans could do the things that I have seen. I was like, what is going on right now? Like, who left this situation in the bathroom? Like, just, I'm like, do you realize that other people are here? Like, it's just shocking. Just the stuff that people leave behind.
That's one of those things, you know, at restaurants, you know, you always see in the bathroom, the sign in the bathroom that says, please don't throw paper towels in the toilet.
And
every time I see one of those, I think, who does that at home? Who comes into the bathroom? It's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to throw everything in the toilet. It doesn't make any sense.
Or like wash your hands. And I'm like, who doesn't wash my, that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah,
like what? No, it's true. It's a bit crazy.
So in those situations though, when you do have women from different backgrounds, from different countries who may not even speak the same language, have you found in your experience that there is a lot of sharing of food and that people are learning about different cultures' food in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes one way or another. I think obviously that not everyone can kind of eat pizza and pasta and all those kind of things. So generally, I'd say like 80 to 90% of people, they either you learn quick or you just have you already are very health conscious. So you either kind of, if you get along with your roommates, generally you'll like have like cook dinners together and snacks together and share that kind of stuff. If you even eat, or it's the opposite where, you know, you'll have like one girl who kind of just eats whatever she wants, put stuff in the fridge. And then actually other girls will steal your food. Like I've been in model apartments where there are signs saying, please do not touch my food. Or like where you've had to label my milk carton or this is so-and-so's food. And it's just like, you would never think that would happen, but it does happen.
Right.
So, I mean, depends.
So let's talk about, I mean, modeling and eating. Obviously, the current, I guess, sort of genre or the current view of models is very skinny.
Right.
And so you mentioned, you know, some girls don't eat at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the skinniness or weight or sort of body type something that in modeling is very, very sort of, is it under a watchful eye? I mean, are the management companies talking to you? Like if you look like you're a little heavier than you were before?
It depends. I mean, it depends on several factors. I think overall though, I'm sure there's a lot of talk about like, yeah, it's changing and oh, we have support and all this stuff. No, it's not like, yes, on the surface, things are different and it's better. And you have girls like Carly Kloss who are kind of like the poster child for like health and wholesome, like fitness, wellness, eating well, but still being slim. But overall, you still need to be, and this is my own phrase, hungry looking, because I think that's what it is. You do. You have to be very slim. And it's kind of like, it depends on which agency and what kind of model you are. Some models are showgirls, and they have to be extremely thin. They're the girls who are really like...
When you say showgirls, you mean walking the runway?
Right. They're the ones who you kind of, when you think of modeling, that's what you think of. And then there are other girls who are more commercial or just do like money jobs or do other things, and so they don't need to have that pressure. So it really depends on what type of model you are, but overall, is there pressure? Absolutely. absolutely. But
it is just that skinniness, especially in the runways type of modeling, is that driven by the clothing designers?
No, to be honest, I think for me, in my experience, I think it's a combination of kind of. It's people in, like, and that's the thing. It's very much blah. Like, it's very, like, it's a very gray area. You never really know where it's coming from, because sometimes you'll go, I've been on fittings before or jobs where the clients will go, oh, it's so nice to see a model who isn't, like, starving. Like, you can tell you're not sick. You're just naturally skinny. But then, having said that, I've also been on castings or jobs where, you know, they've made the samples, like, at a child size. So I think it kind of depends on the person. But overall, I would just say it's just in general, there is still this really bad kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like a really bad expectation that being super, super, super skinny is expensive, and therefore that's what you should all want to be and do. I just think that in general, the majority still think that that's the ideal beauty, if
right.
that makes sense.
Right. And so, I mean, have you found with either with yourself or with your colleagues that
yep.
that pressure is hard? I mean, that there is pressure to not eat, or there is pressure to keep yourself skinnier than you feel like is comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like such a douchebag for saying this, but like, I have always been slim, and it's just genetics. I blame being Asian. Most people just say it's just genetics. So I've never felt like that. And then the other thing is that my personality is just very much like, if I want to eat, I'm going to eat. Like, I don't like being told like you can't do something. So it has crossed my mind, like, oh yeah, you should probably like eat kale more than you should have pizza. But as a whole, the pressure hasn't really got to me, but has it got to a lot of my friends? Absolutely. I'd say 95% of my friends, if they don't have an issue with their food in terms of being like obsessive, being healthy, then they have had some kind of problem in the past. And it's just, I hate using the word just, but it's true. It's just the way that the job is. And it's right. just the way that the whole thing is, you know, you end up associating eating healthy, being skinny, working out with success, because that's kind of the way it happens.
Right.
The slimmer you are, the more jobs you book, and the prettier you are, and the more followers you get. And so it's like a cycle where you never really, no one's ever telling you stop, like put yourself forward, like look after yourself. It's very much like, oh, if you are this slim, you will do this well.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I really like about your show on YouTube is that it is showing models eating.
Right.
Because we do have, you know, there is this thing, okay, they need to be really skinny.
Yep.
They must not eat.
Yep.
And, you know, I would hope that your show has the opportunity to address some of those issues as well that may even come up for the models themselves, right? About people not seeing them eat or seeing them
Right,
cook.
Yeah. No, and it's so true, because that's another thing that I thought of as well. Like, I really want it to be as real as possible. So, for example, one of my friends, Annika, she was on the show, and she's a high fashion model. She's in the new face of Dior. So for her, yeah, like being healthy and slim is part of her job. But you can see she eats, like she has like a kale salad, and she's not there lying saying, oh, I'm having a burger. No, right. She's not having a burger. She's having a kale salad. But then on the other hand, you have my other friend, Sam, or my other friend, Maya, who's like, you know what? I'm going to make a brownie, and I'm going to make this, and I'm going to make that, you know. And if you listen to it, you know, I'll say like, oh yeah, this is so-and-so's cheat day meal, or so-and-so is going to work out after this. It's very much like we say it as it is. But yeah, I definitely think it's one of the things I'm really happy about, is that, yeah, it can show that we do eat. And as a whole, like, whether or not we're eating a lot, or we're eating a little bit, whatever, or we're eating right. healthy, we do eat in general.
Sure.
Yeah.
In the realm of being, you know, as a model, you have a public face, right? Certainly. I mean, your friend Annika, who's the face of Dior, right?
Right.
You know, is it hard to go out to eat at a restaurant? Is it, you know, do you worry that people
for
are going
or
to
for
see
other...
you? I mean, in the, for you, and then also just in the industry.
I think it's something that definitely crosses your mind, especially in New York. So I started modeling in Europe originally, part-time, and it's definitely not, like, modeling isn't a career there. It's very much like, oh yeah, you're doing modeling now, but you're going to do something afterwards, right?
I see.
And in New York City, something I've noticed is that people really respect modeling as a career. It's like, oh, she's a model. So I think there are a few hotspots, places like Dimes, The Butcher's Daughter. I'm not getting paid to say this, by the way. Those are genuinely hot spots. You go there, you will see a Victoria's Secret model. And I think being like, I mean, yeah, it's healthy food anyway, so you're going to see models there anyway, but it's very much like a place to be seen. And yeah, when models get together, they will, like 9 times out of 10, they'll say yeah, let's meet up there instead of going like, somewhere that isn't, I guess, cool, because you can Instagram there and you can tag and you can be seen there and you never know who you're going to bump into.
And so, I mean, that sort of brings my next question, which is about sort of a work-life balance, right? So, you know, at a certain point, if that's your, you know, it's all work, right? Mm-hmm. Do you find, does that get tiring? Sort of feeling like, you know, that if you're going out with your friends who are models and you need to be Instagramming and tagging and those things, is that, you know, is it tired? Do you ever long to just like go out in the woods alone and like get away?
Go into the woods. I don't like the woods, so I'm good. For me, it doesn't feel tiring. I really like the other, my other interests are like tech and social media and like really boring like subjects. So for me, it's fine. And I love food. So for me, it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like work at all. The way I see it is that if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do well in it. So if I don't want to post something, I won't do it. I think it's better to be silent than to do something which isn't authentic, because then I'm just going to kick myself afterwards if I post something. But yeah, I think, yeah, I know some people who maybe it doesn't come as naturally to them. I have a friend of mine who's always like, oh, I have to post something on Instagram today, but I don't want to. And I'm like, then just don't do it, you know?
Sure.
But maybe not. I mean, some people are just, I mean, I'm just really opinionated. I'm just like, oh my God, I want to do whatever I want. Maybe not everyone.
Well, I mean, so far it seems to have worked out well for you.
Thanks, you.
We're going to take a short break and hear from one of our sponsors here at Heritage Radio. And when we come back, Vanessa and I will continue talking about modeling and tech and cooking.
Pizza.
The National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and today I'm speaking with Vanessa Lee, model, YouTube cooking host, tech disruptor, potentially. You can follow Vanessa on social media and check out her feeds at Vanessa Lee VL.
Thank you.
Definitely go there and check it out. Actually, today, in advance of the show, Vanessa posted a picture of some really awesome-looking chocolate-dipped watermelon, right? That a model colleague of yours made.
Yeah, we were filming, and then after the... Like, sometimes after you film something, you're like, okay, I want something else. And yeah, we made the dish, and then we were like, we want something sweet. And normally, I would be like, let's just go get... like chocolate cake or something, because I'm awful. But yeah, we had some watermelon, we had some dark chocolate, and then we had like nuts, and we were like, okay, let's do something. And then
so that was just sort of like an off the cuff idea.
Yeah, everything is pretty much off the cuff. I have no, like, scheduling and organization is just not in my nature. I don't know why.
I mean, that's one of the fun things about being in that environment, though, right, is that there is a creativity there where you decide, oh, well, what do we have to work with? I mean, I did a shoot last week for Facebook Live or Mike.com on Facebook, and I did a basil-infused vodka.
Oh.
And then after the shoot, I looked around, and I was like, wait, I have tomatoes and I have mozzarella. So I did a caprese salad martini.
Oh, nice.
That had a slice of tomato and a slice of mozzarella with the basil-infused vodka.
Oh,
so it was like
I
a salad.
That. Yeah,
but
winning.
It was a drink. Yeah, it's great. you know, modeling is obviously, you know, mostly a career for young people.
And that's what I hear these days. I wouldn't know since I'm 100.
do you see yourself being in modeling as a career sort of, you know, for long term? Or do you think that, you know, what, I mean, in your experience, what do folks who essentially age out do? Do they stay in the entertainment industry as agents or things like that? And is that where you see yourself going eventually?
I think that's definitely an option, which I think is actually a really good job, to be honest. I don't know if it's for me, but I think with this job, you get the way I look at it is that you get a lot of time, which is probably the most luxurious thing you can have in life, just to kind of figure out what you want to do, and you have freedom to think about it and freedom to travel and like explore what you want to, what you like and what you don't like. For me, I love my job. I love traveling, and I love that I get to kind of do things like my videos because I have the time and I have the financial means to kind of just figure out what I want to do without worrying so much as someone else would. But having said that, I love tech, I love economics, I love writing, I did journalism in school. So for me, I see myself moving into, like, later on, moving into things like maybe videos or hosting or something in tech or startups. Like, those are all kind of, it's all very much like up in the air. So I'm kind of using this time to kind of do side projects like my videos and see where that takes me and just kind of figure it out. I don't have a set route or a set plan, but I definitely think that modeling is something, like you said, it's for a young person. So while I'm young, or at least while the Botox is still working, I'm just gonna ride it out and just do it, and it's going well so far. And then yeah, like have other things in mind, but yeah, I definitely think that some people kind of, yeah, they become agents, and some people become actresses, and some people just model forever.
In a set of pre-show questions, I asked if you preferred a table for one or dinner party, mm-hmm. and you said dinner party. And then yeah. I also asked if you could have dinner with anyone, who would it be? And I feel like your answer would be a really interesting dinner party if you set it up that way.
Thank you. You want to help me set it up?
Absolutely.
Do you know them?
So, I mean, I think that, so Vanessa, you had said that you would like to have dinner with potentially singly, but I think a dinner party would be really interesting. Martha Stewart, mm-hmm. Elon Musk, Malcolm Gladwell, and Jamie mm-hmm. Foxx.
Yep.
Which I have this now, I have this vision. I really hope. I would love to be invited to that dinner party.
So would I.
Put it out there. I think it would be fascinating. I have met only one of the people on your list.
Who did you meet?
I've met Martha a couple of times.
Oh my God. Yeah, I saw her outside do you say an elevator or a lift?
Elevator.
I saw her outside.
I mean, you can say lift too.
Oh, okay. So I saw her outside of one, and I never get starstruck. I couldn't. I just stood there and I was like, oh my God. And then, of course, classic millennial move. I get out my phone to Snapchat her, and she turns around and she just stares me down. And I was like, oh my God, my phone just like melted in my hand. She's just got like something about her. She's like so cool. And like, just, she's just like such a, like, she just goes for it. Like, I love it. She just has like everything. I don't know. There's just something about her. She's just awesome. And as you can probably tell with all of those people, they're kind of, as Malcolm Gladwell would say, they're all outliers.
Right.
They're all like disruptors, and they're all like entrepreneurs. And I don't know. I just think that they, each one of them has something really interesting. They all came from they all had a certain struggle or a certain unique story and unique journey. And I like what they all do. They all go for what they want, and they've all been successful in a way that's different to everyone else.
Right.
Martha Stewart, obviously, I think she has a kind of a story that I would love to use as like a inspiration, I guess, just in the sense that she wanted to do XYZ, and she did it in a way that no one else thought. So, you know, she was in finance, and then she went to jail, and she did food, but she makes it cool. And I just think that's awesome, because she's essentially a glorified homemaker, and she's made that a cool thing to do. Like, I know people who are like, I love Martha Stewart. And when you ask them why, they're like, I don't know why.
She made it accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she did. She made it accessible, and she presented this idea, I think, that having a dinner party was something to aspire to.
Absolutely. But not in like a mumsy way. It's just in a cool way. Jamie Foxx, I just think, is awesome, because I heard a podcast that he did with Tim Ferriss, and I was like, wow, like, I didn't really know much about him before that. And then I just, after hearing that, I was like, this guy is awesome. And then I was like, actually, you know, it's just interesting because he's an actor, but he actually there's a lot more to it than just acting. Malcolm Gladwell, he's my favorite author. I've read all his books, and I just think he's got a fascinating outlook on life. Elon Musk, I mean, he's basically a superhero. so yeah, just people who are just interesting and different. And I think they're just exciting exciting. They think differently to other people. And I think at a dinner table with food, I mean, carbs and clever people, how can you go wrong?
Right. I mean, if anybody listening has a connection to those people and can help Vanessa,
throw it at me, put this by together, all means.
I mean, I also think that, you know, I think that one of the great things about the setup of your show is that you could, I mean, in fact, do that with any of those people, right? I mean, how cool would it
really?
Be for you and your,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, why not? You and your iPhone and
again,
Martha Stewart's kitchen
anyone
to interview
knows.
Her about.
No, but the thing is, like, if I ever had the chance to actually speak to her, I would straight up, I would just ask her, which I probably would, she would probably be like, no, but I would just ask her because I just figured why not? Like, you never know. So, yeah.
So do you feel like now you have learned about cooking? Do you cook at home now? Did you cook any of the dishes that you've learned from your colleagues?
Yeah. I can make very good. Yeah. I've pretty much tried all of them. I've only failed at making one of them, which is my friend's corn soup. I'm just not very good at everything, but definitely. And I like the idea, I like the fact that it's very simple, and in the videos I'm always like asking, like my friend says, oh, you're always mocking yourself, because I'm always like, oh, I had no idea you could make that, but it's true. And I think I try and simplify everything, and I think the people I've chosen, they've kind of simplified it too. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of all stuck with me. I think the best thing that I made was a zucchini brownie, which I learned the recipe off my friend through the videos. And yeah, now I have extra weight because of it. It's great. I'm joking. I don't.
I mean, speaking of that, do you consider yourself to be like perpetually on a diet?
No.
No.
If I'm on a diet, it is literally a icy food diet, and then I eat it. It's seafood. It's just like, it's the diet that no one else is on. It's just me. Like... Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, that's nice to hear. I mean, you know, as someone, I grew up heavy set as a kid, mm-hmm. and went to Weight Watchers mm-hmm. with my mom when I was like 11.
Yeah.
And still have a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff comes up in my brain, because there are the sort of like the societal pressures for thinness or for losing weight. You know, I had a guest on this show talking about body issues last season, or maybe it was even the season before that, you know, talking about how in some cases it's actually a bad thing. You know, you go and, you know, she had an issue where she took her mother to the doctor, and the nurse said, oh, you look so thin. But I mean, her mother had cancer, you know, the sort of like people just talk about thinness as a something.
And to be fair, like I laugh and joke about like, oh yeah. And I always say this, I'm really lucky, but at the same time, I try and be sensitive to the fact that, yeah, some people do struggle with their weight, and it isn't healthy to be super skinny. And it also isn't healthy to be too big.
Sure.
So I overall, like, I understand, and I do think, yeah, like I try and promote like being healthy, but I also just think it's a balance. Like, if you want to eat something, I really believe just eat it, because life is really short.
Absolutely.
And like for me, I grew up in the sense that like in England, you grow up and you have supper, you have dinner, and then you always finish with a treat. So you associate it with like it's like a comforting feeling. And just like you, I grew up on kind of heavy pub, like really rich food, like pies, and we had like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, like sausages and mash, like really heavy food that like is just comfort food.
Right. Stick to your ribs, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. And like all my favorite places to eat, and that was one of the things I was like, oh god, he's gonna ask me my favorite restaurants, and I'm gonna be like, I love all of that. So I do think it's good to like, I indulge it all the time. I indulge and have those things anytime I want to. But having said that, I do think, especially now I know more about salads and kale and like superfoods, it's also good to have a balance of those things.
I think for me, we're almost out of time, but I think sort of wrapping up, I think it's you know, it's important for everybody to recognize that, you know, modeling is a career that people mm-hmm. can have. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for people who might be interested in that,
in
that as a career. But I also think it's important. I really, one of the things you said really struck me, which is that you're able to use it because you have time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the career of modeling, right, there's time traveling.
Yep.
There's time spent on set waiting. Mm-hmm. There's time spent in fittings or waiting for fittings and a lot of that stuff. And I really admire that, you know, it's not, you know, you don't just sit there and say, oh, I'm bored, or I'm just looking at my phone, or I'm playing a game, that you're using that time, and that you understand, that you see that time is something that is valuable for you,
absolutely.
As an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would, you know, I'm curious, is there anything you would say to someone who, you know, perhaps has heard this and thinks, oh, maybe modeling is something I'd be interested in given that?
I fell into it. I was scouted, so it wasn't something I like went into. So maybe I wouldn't say like aspire to do modeling, but I think if it comes your way and it is an opportunity, just be prepared to have something else alongside of it. I think if you just focus on modeling, if you just have it, I've seen what it does to people, and it's not good, because then that's when you have so much free time, it becomes a burden instead of a luxury. And you start to overthink and overanalyze everything, and then you're like, oh, should I, my agency said this and my Polaroids were like this, and then that's kind of where problems kind of start to arise, because you have all this free time. If you have 24 hours in a day and half an hour of it is spent at a casting, and then you have nothing else going on, of course you're going to be like, oh, maybe that casting went wrong because I'm not skinny enough. And then, you know, your mind starts to wonder, not just about weight, but just in general, and especially because generally you're young and you're alone most of the time. You don't really have like a support system of people who are going to be like, no, you're fine. So I would say if you're going to do it, or if you are in it, make sure you have something else, whether it's like you're studying or you have work or you have a hobby, just have something else going on, because that is going to be the backbone to your sanity. For me, it was like videos, but before this I was studying. I always had something else going on, and I think that's kind of kept me relatively sane. But definitely, yeah, it's important, because this isn't forever, but also just for yourself to keep your mind going, it's good to have something else going on.
I think that's great advice.
Thank you.
So we're pretty much out of time. Do you have anything else that you wanted to mention to people who are listening? Any other things going on? How do people find you on YouTube?
So if you type in my name, Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A-L-E, there is my channel, which will come up. But mainly I do everything through Instagram. So if you type in, yeah, like you said, my handle, I'm on there, and I link all my videos whenever I post them, which is twice a week. And yeah, I just keep everyone updated through that, really. And yeah, I hope you'll follow me and watch my videos. And if you have anything you want to share, or you have any, just like comments or anything, like by all means, like I always speak to everyone. Feel free to slide into my DM, especially if you know any of my dream dinner guests.
Yeah.
Dinner party guests. That would be awesome.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today to Feast Your Ears. A big thank you to Kristen Baylor, who's my producer here, and David Tadashore for engineering. A reminder to everybody, if you will be in New York on July 19th, we are hosting Sumo Stew number 8, where we serve, delicious food, and we watch live sumo from Japan during the grand tournament that's happening over there that day. That will be at the Brooklyn Brewery on the 19th of July, and you can find more information at thebrooklynkitchen.com about that. And please follow us on heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes, and you can follow me on Instagram at thefoodballer. Thanks very much. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.